Have you heard of the Oregon Electric Railroad line? If you're from the Eugene area, chances are pretty good that you're familiar with the Oregon Electric Station restaurant. That's a very plush, upscale restaurant. Some of the dining is in Pullman cars. And it occupies, as you probably know, the railroad station for the Oregon Electric line. This is the story about the Oregon Electric line. It's actually a pretty interesting one. Very few people remember it anymore. But in its day, it was very innovative, very luxurious, and very important. It was a connection between Portland and Eugene that opened up the valley to almost everybody. So I'll tell you the story of the Oregon Electric line in a minute. First, let me introduce myself to you real quick. My name is Finn, J.D. John. I write a weekly newspaper column that runs in about a dozen newspapers around the state right now called Offbeat Oregon History. And what you're listening to right now is a story from our archives. It was first published on March 22nd, 2009. I'm going to read it to you now, and if you'd like some more information about this little podcast or about the Offbeat Oregon History newspaper column it's part of, stay tuned. About 2 miles south of Albany city limits, at the edge of a field dotted with grazing sheep, is a derelict building in a stand of trees beside a lonely stretch of railroad track. It's tall, it's square, and it's classical looking. In fact, it looks like the shell of something that was once very impressive. And it's about 200 yards from the nearest road, a tiny rural lane that sees perhaps 2 cars an hour at most. This is Pirtle Station, a transfer station on the Oregon Electric Railroad line that once connected Portland to Eugene. The Oregon Electric was launched in 1907 as a short passenger line running from Portland to Salem. 5 years later, the line was extended with great fanfare to Eugene. Electric railroads were taking the country by storm at the time. While a steam train had to include a heavy, expensive locomotive pulling a long string of cars to be cost-effective, an electric could consist of one car with an electric motor between its wheels. The only trouble was you couldn't send the power more than 100 miles or so, or the voltage would bleed off. So using electricity really only worked on short local lines between cities. On the Oregon Electric, the coaches were plush and comfortable and the service fast and dependable. And powered entirely by electricity, cheap and easy to maintain. The future looked bright for the new line. Of course, it wasn't. The same year it was launched, Henry Ford created the automotive assembly line system that would result in thousands of inexpensive Ford Model Ts crawling all over Oregon within a decade. The better cars became, the fewer people chose to ride the rails. By the time World War II ended, every passenger electric railroad in Oregon, from the Oregon Electric to the streetcars of Portland, had died for lack of business. The Oregon Electric itself shut down electric operations in 1945, but by then it was exclusively hauling freight. It went from making almost $1 million in 1920 to $17,313 in all of 1932. The following year, when the Public Utility Commission held a hearing to end passenger service on the line, only 6 people even showed up. But you can still see plenty of evidence of what it was like all along the line. Of course, in Eugene, there's the Oregon Electric Station restaurant. This famous eatery occupies the station built there after the line came to Eugene in 1912. It's a Georgian Revival building with a very distinctive triple arch facade, and there are a couple of the old coaches outfitted as dining cars. It's been lovingly restored to its original glory. In Albany, the station, only slightly less fancy, is now home to Cedici's Pizza, a place with deep roots in the community at which one can pore over pages from old Albany High School yearbooks varnished over on the tabletops. But the indirect effects of the Oregon Electric line are much more pervasive today. This cheap, fast service from Portland made the South Willamette Valley accessible to thousands of people who couldn't otherwise have come. It's no accident that the towns it went through became some of the biggest in the valley. Ironically enough, all commercial railroads are electric today. The difference is the electricity is no longer sent over wires to the trains. The power is generated in the locomotives by massive diesel generators. That's the end of today's column. If you're listening for the first time, here's a little more information about this podcast and about Offbeat Oregon History, the newspaper column it's part of. Offbeat Oregon History tells the stories of Oregon history that nobody knows about. The ones everyone has forgotten. Stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost gold, of Shanghai sailors and Skid Row bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries. We've got all of those things. It's a weekly column, and I've been writing it since late 2008, So right now there are about 175 published episodes in the kitty. So every weekday morning I pull one of those episodes up and put it out on the daily RSS feeds. One in text and pictures for your newsreader, and one in audio only for your podcatcher or for iTunes. You can read any archive column and subscribe to either daily feed by going to the website at offbeatoregon.com. Both feeds are optimized for smartphone or iPhone use, but they work great on an iPad, tablet, netbook, computer, whatever you got. All the columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Thanks for listening, and do drop me a line if you're ever in Corvallis and have time for a cup of coffee. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Have a great day.